This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thursday morning, July 29th, we have flown through the month of July. Although the kids are a little nervous, a little anxious, headed back to school real soon. Some kids are starting next week and the following week as well. As the summer comes to an end, we got a great show lined up for you today. Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana, will get our coronavirus and Delta variant update. We'll talk about a number of issues as to why should we fear the Delta variant more than others. I reached out to several physicians over the last several days to kind of get their feel for this. And it seems as though there's been a number of articles, too, about there's two different worlds out there. Obviously, the vaccinated world and the unvaccinated world. And I want to hear from Dr. Joe Cantor as a physician. How does it feel to be every day in the unvaccinated world and to see the worst of what the variant as well as COVID has to offer each and every day for our frontline health officers? Officials. In the 11 o'clock hour, Josh Beach joins us. He's an author of the book, The Myths and Measurement of and Meritocracy, Why Accountability Metrics in Higher Education Are Unfair and Increase Inequality. There's a recent Wall Street Journal article talking about how elite universities and their master's degree program leave their students with incredible, enormous amounts of debt that they can't afford. They can't even make enough money to pay the interest on the loan. They are deferring all payments, kicking the can down the road. Sound familiar? They're just following in the footsteps of the federal government. And they wonder why we're in a position that we're in. We'll talk about why that is. Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst, joins us. The Federal Reserve Board Chairman Jerome Powell had a press conference yesterday. I guess that was post Federal Open Market Committee meeting, giving us the pulse of the economy. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noah. Great to be with you again.
Greg, I watched a good part of the press conference yesterday, predominantly the question and answer session. There was no doubt that Jerome Powell kept his cards close to the vest.
Yeah, well said. I think that was, entirely the goal is to, say something but promise nothing. We're kind of moving closer to an inflection point where the Federal Reserve, which has had the pedal to the metal, stimulating the economy, where they're going to have to start to ease off the gas. Ease off a little too fast and it could jeopardize the economic recovery, take too long to ease off the gas. It could, lead to sustained levels of inflation as opposed to just something temporary. So it's a bit of a balancing act. And so they kind of lobbed the first verbal volley, if you will, yesterday, hinting that, okay, economy's progressing. We expect it's going to continue to progress. And if that's the case, then, they're going to have, further discussions about starting to scale that back. Timetable for an interest rate hike is probably still 18 to 24 months away, but what will come first is dialing back the $120 billion a month in bonds that they're buying. And I expect they'll probably kick that off end of this year, early part of 2022.
I heard the word inflation more than ever before, at least in recent meetings. But it was interesting. There didn't seem to be a lot of concern because I think at one point he actually made the admission, we're the ones contributing to it.
Yeah, he did. He said he had acknowledged that the Fed's the one that's responsible for it. I don't think there's a whole lot of concern on the part of the Fed at this point because they are sticking to the script about how this inflation is going to be, their term is transitory. In English, that means temporary. And this is something that's going to pass. It's not going to be sustained. And so far, markets are buying that. And so there's not a whole lot of level of concern at the Fed at this point. What happens, though, is if the sentiment in the market changes and all of a sudden the credibility of the Fed is called into question, if the belief starts to creep in that, oh, no, this isn't temporary, we are going to have a sustained higher level of inflation, that's where, we're going to see, some real dislocations in markets. You could see some very significant movements. And I think at that point, that's when the Fed starts to get backed into a corner, perhaps even more than they already are.
We're talking to Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst. Greg, obviously, everyone looks at housing. If you could, for the benefit of the listening audience, when we talk about this accelerated or robust bond buying program that the Fed is involved in, how that actually inflates housing prices and is somewhat detrimental to those that are in the market looking to purchase a new home.
It's been a contributor. It's difficult to quantify exactly how much, but what the Fed is doing began back in March of 2020, the initial outset of the pandemic, when financial markets were in turmoil and about to seize up, because basically anything that wasn't nailed down was being sold for cash. And that included even very safe and secure government bonds. And so what the Fed does is one of their jobs is known as lender of last resort. They basically stepped into the market in a big way to provide the liquidity necessary to keep credit flowing. So they became the ready, willing, and able buyer. Anybody that wanted to sell any government bonds or mortgage-backed bonds to raise cash, all of a sudden, they had a buyer. That really helped to stabilize markets and kept the flow of credit going. That's why even in the midst of the turmoil in March of 2020, you could still get a mortgage because there was a willing buyer for that. They've continued that buying at the same pace, the economy has recovered. Yes, that's helped bring mortgage rates down. Yes, that's helped boost asset prices, not just the stock market, but even things like housing. It forces or tempts investors to put their money into those type of riskier assets. And so in housing, you see this big imbalance between the limited supply of homes available for sale and just, demand that's off the charts, not just from people trying to buy homes, but investors trying to buy homes. And so that imbalance, not all the Fed's doing, but, there is certainly a contributing factor.
Absolutely. And then the Commerce Department announces this morning that the economy grew by 6.5% during the second quarter of 2021, which is a level that surpassed, for the first time, pre-pandemic GDP. What does that mean? I know that the projected growth that a number of economists thought that they would reach was 8.5%, so about 2% short of that. So as a result of what the Chairman Powell said yesterday, is this in line with what he was talking about?
Well, first of all, 6.5%, yes, it was light relative to, I think, a lot of the consensus forecasts, but within the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, for example, has a tool called GDP Now where they track it and it's close to real time. And their projection was 6.5%. So they basically nailed it. I know another private economist who all along had been saying something in the neighborhood of 6.5%. So, 6.5% is still blockbuster. Make no mistake about that. Maybe we had a little bit exuberant expectations and we're looking for a number, in the 8% neighborhood. And the economy is still growing like crazy, rebounding. And yes, at this point, it has returned to its pre-pandemic size. which is a good indicator. Of course, you know, the indicator that really matters to all of us is jobs. And we're still about 6.8 million jobs shy of where we were pre-pandemic. So I think, you know, to all of us, the real measure of has the economy recovered to its pre-pandemic level is, have we been able to shrink the gap getting people back to work? That still got some work to do.
And when I was talking about in line with what Chairman Powell was saying, with the realization or them, you know, he admitting that they are a major contributor to inflation, obviously that's an impediment to growth, right?
Well, some inflation is actually good for the economy in that it gets people to buy, it stimulates demand. A lot of the inflation we're seeing right now is more supply because of supply constraints. So yes, demand has certainly rebounded as the economy's reopened and people have money to spend. But the real issue contributing to these outrageous price increases you're seeing in some areas is just the limited supply. And so, you know, that part is not the Fed's doing. As more supply comes back online, as some of the supply chain constraints are eased, you know, greater capacity, employers staff up, that will alleviate some of those or a lot of those supply issues that have contributed to price increases. And that's what the Fed's kind of pointing to when they say that this is going to be temporary. Now, of course, I think the bigger issue is, well, let's look at the items that tend to have more sustained price increases. And we are seeing some evidence of higher price levels there as well. So I think that's where my concern sits in terms of, yeah, there's a lot of temporary factors driving it right now, but once they subside, there's going to be some other elements we're going to have to keep our eye on. Things like shelter costs, rents. The effect of these rising home prices is not yet reflected in consumer prices. That tends to lag. That's going to show up, and when it shows up, it'll show up in a big way.
And then, obviously, the manner in which the Fed actually deals with these issues on the tail, meaning how quickly they diminish their bond buying program or how quickly they raise rates probably is two issues that are of the utmost concern. And I guess that's why Chairman Powell kind of kept things close to the vest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's what they're effectively in charge of is, you know, the price of money and governing the economy. And so there's definitely a tightrope that has to be walked. And if, you know, you get it wrong one way or the other, it's something that impacts everybody. So, the Fed doesn't want to be painted into a corner necessarily. They don't want to commit to anything. I mentioned earlier how it's, you know, say something but promise nothing, just kind of keeping their options open. The Delta variant, which you talked about at the top of the hour, the Delta variant is, you know, that raises the specter of some economic risks that maybe, you know, we had thought we were moving beyond, right? What impact is that going to have on growth, you know, in the third quarter of this year? That's unknown, right? And so, when in doubt, I think it gives the Fed just even a little bit more hesitancy, kind of maintaining that pedal to the metal in the meantime.
And he mentioned that a couple of times in the post-session Q&A, that it's difficult to put your finger on the pulse of what the impact of the Delta variant will be in the economy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, as we've, talked about, throughout the pandemic, just so many unprecedented aspects to all of this. And, this is yet another one, right? Just unprecedented nature of sort of restarting the economy. But now you've got, this variant that comes along. How does that impact the reopening of the economy? How does that impact commerce, travel, right? I mean, travel's just, travel has rebounded in many ways, but the experience is different. To what extent does the variant throw a wrench into that? All unanswered questions that I think the Fed wants a little bit more clarity on before they commit to anything in terms of removing the stimulus.
And as I recall, I was going through my notes, speaking with Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst. He made an admission, as I recall, and I was struck by it, about prices coming back down, that there's like no guarantee of that, and there's very much in many circles an anticipation that they will stay inflated for a fairly lengthy period of time.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about inflation, and when we all talk about inflation, we, you know, we're talking about the change in prices from one year to the next, and then that year to the year after, that kind of thing. And so what happens with, you know, inflation is prices move up, but a lot of times they don't move back down. And so, you know, even these so-called temporary factors, you know, that's not to say prices are going to revert back to what they had been. Some, yeah, things like used cars, rental car prices, that's going to return to rationality at some point. But, you know, things like the other costs that go up, insurance costs, rent. When was the last time rent went down? When was the last time your insurance went down, right? Some of these things, they go up. But then even if they don't keep going up, they stay at that level. And, you know, I think a lot of, you know, you've seen that on the wage side, too. Employers that have to raise wages to bring people in. Well, that's going to, you know, it's not like they're going to go, you know, somebody, if they have to pay somebody $17 an hour instead of $15 an hour to get them in the door this year, it's $17 an hour is their baseline. They're not going back to $15 an hour next year. Right. So, you know, it does work both ways, fortunately, on the wage side and the cost side. It's just unfortunately wages tend to be more the following factor rather than the leading one.
Absolutely. They meet again on September 21 and 22 and November 2nd, November 3rd to close out this year. It seems as though there's going to be a lot of information coming from that way in the fourth quarter for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then the Fed also has a big conference and, you know, that's widely publicized next month. And so that's oftentimes where, you know, some pronouncements like, you know, are they going to start the tapering the bond purchases? Some of that tends to come out during those conferences. So, you know, just another thing on the calendar, keep an eye on.
Absolutely. Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's Chief Financial Analyst. Thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time and your insight.
Thanks so much, Noel. I appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.